Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moor Parish in the Hill District, and also the pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. This morning, we return to Northside Catholic Assumption Academy in Pittsburgh's Brighton Heights neighborhood. The original school, St. Cyril's, opened back in 1930, run by the Sisters of Mercy. A kindergarten was added back in 1948. And as enrollment grew, a new school building was built in 1967. The name changed to Northside Catholic back in 2011. Then the school merged with Assumption in Bellevue in 2018, when Northside Catholic Assumption Academy began receiving support from the Extra Mile Foundation to help low-income minority students. The school's mission is to educate the minds and enrich the hearts of children in an academically stimulating, safe, Catholic-filled center environment. My guests this morning are Roseanne Kwiatkowski, who is the principal at Northside Catholic Assumption Academy, three-year-old preschool teacher Amanda Zieger, and also the school counselor, and Casey Ruffin, who will join us in the second segment. Welcome to Catholic Education Plus, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roseanne, in the first part of the show, we're focusing on your preschool program. Why is early learning so important?
So early learning is so important because at 3 and 4 years old, these students, they've only been with their parents and possibly siblings in the home. And at this time, we feel that it's a great time for them to come into schools to learn how to socialize with other children their own age, and also to be with another loving adult who is there, you know, trying to give them a new experience, teaching them how to socialize and get along with other children, teaching them how to share and engage, but also teaching them some of those pre-reading skills, especially in the three-year-old classroom, looking at their names and letters and learning how to, you know, identify that. That's something that is so important in getting them ready for later on in their education. So that's something that doesn't come if they're not going to a three-year-old or four-year-old preschool program.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Amanda, this is your fourth year at Northside Catholic Assumption Academy, and the preschool program has become more specialized. Can you tell our listeners how it has changed over the years?
That's a great question. So before I was hired in the summer of 2018, Northside School had a preschool program, and it was only offered half day for three-year-olds and four-year-olds combined. Currently, our school has a three-year-old classroom, which I'm the teacher of, and then a four-year-old classroom as well. And we offer full day enrollment, which is Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. And then we also offer half day enrollment Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 until 11. We give parents the option, and then we can also adjust or accommodate their schedules as well. So if a parent has a child that goes to school for half day, 2 days a week, and eventually wants to have their child come for a longer period of time, we can always offer them 5 half days. We can go to 5 full days, whatever works for that family. Another way that our preschool program is more specialized is we now have a three-year-old program and a four-year-old program. And we feel that there's a big difference between the age groups. It's so important to have them separated, even though we do a lot of activities together. As Roseanne mentioned, you know, I spend a lot of time focusing on name recognition, having them write their names, spell their names, finding it in the classroom. We also go over letter and sound recognition, as well as numbers 0 to 10. I have a longer playtime period where the children learn to socialize. And I work alongside with the four-year-old teacher to ensure that the transition with my children is good whenever they go to the four-year-old program.
And so since the three-year-olds are coming in a little bit earlier and they have the three-year-old and four-year-old program, obviously they're getting more acclimated to school. Amanda, do you see that the three-year-olds are transitioning more easily into kindergarten after a couple years in the preschool program?
Absolutely. I know that Roseanne and other members of our school community can agree that our students are very successful at transitioning and also performing academically and socially in a school setting. I am a big advocate for early childhood education, and I was a kindergarten teacher before my job here. And I can tell you that I know the children that come in and have that experience in preschool. It was such a blessing to see children that could spell their names, recognize their names, recognize their letters and their numbers. And I can confidently say that our students here that go through this program have those skills under their belts. And it's just so nice to see them so prepared and ready for kindergarten.
Absolutely. Yeah, it gets them more comfortable. They're comfortable with their setting, social skills, obviously, working with other classmates, the families start to get to know each other. It just makes the transition in the building, I think, healthier, because they're more mature and they're familiar with their surroundings versus just coming in right at kindergarten without any preschool program. You build that foundation, which is excellent. Now, Amanda, we're now in the season of Advent. How do you teach these little ones about their Catholic faith?
So we do that in a lot of different ways. And this is such a fun time during the year because the children are just so excited. last week before Thanksgiving, I explained what Advent is. And we basically, just went over how it's the time that we prepare for the birth of Jesus. Today was the first day back from our Thanksgiving break. So the children colored their first candle on their Advent wreath by themselves. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to do that each week during this season of Advent. And then I also plan on teaching lessons that focus on the nativity story. So I'll use books and songs, some video clips, and we'll do that leading up to Christmas. And as I said, the children they love this part of the year. It's fun to see them engaged and also ask so many questions about what this season is all about.
So this week, coming back after Thanksgiving holiday, and obviously last Sunday we lit the very first candle in the Advent wreath, and then today, this Sunday, we light the second one. Kids love that. They love, it's like the birthday cake candles. They're so awestruck about candle lighting, and that's good. You can teach them about the Advent wreath and that there's four candles, three purple and one pink, and we're waiting. Christmas is not here yet, and it's not more than just about Santa Claus. It's or gift giving. It's about the birth of Christ, and that's good that you're teaching the little youngsters about Advent is coming and waiting in joyful hope, and that's how they're learning about that. Now, Roseanne, your mission statement stresses the importance of children achieving their God-given potential. Are you starting to see results with your focus on early education?
Definitely. We're definitely seeing our children, coming into the upper grades, from, kindergarten and third grade with more confidence in their abilities. And we have them having a better understanding of their Catholic faith as well. They're eager to engage in volunteering in just not only just in the classroom, but also like volunteering at Mass, being able to, volunteer to be a reader at a Mass, and in the classroom, raising their hands, willing to share what they know and show that knowledge off. So it's definitely, making them more aware of who they are and how all of this is from God. And they love to be challenged academically and, in their faith as well. So it's definitely something that we're seeing. And I accredit all of that with it coming from them being in our preschool program and moving along through the school. It's definitely helping them with that confidence in themselves.
Now, we just have one more question before we take a break. Amanda, I just wanted to ask, and Roseanne, you can chime in too. We have about 2 minutes left. What are the parents telling the both of you about the preschool program? How are the parents reacting with the 3- and 4-year-old program before they prep into kindergarten? Are you hearing any positive results from the parents' perspectives?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I think one of the really nice things about our program too is we give parents that option so they can ease their children into the setting. So if they want to start out half day, they can start. And, if a month or two goes by and we feel that they could be at school longer, we can give them that option for full day. I also think they just love, the children love coming to school. And I think that they love the community that we've built too, because as Roseanne mentioned, these children come in, they gain that confidence, and you can just see them accelerate throughout the school as they move on the different grade levels. It's just a great program. And I think the parents really, really like that their children are here. So if you wanted to add.
Yeah, sure. And we have like a lot of siblings who are in the upper grades. And that was like, oh my gosh, when we first transitioned into the full day preschool and Amanda came on and the four-year-old preschool teacher, Mrs. Noker, came on. It just, the parents were thrilled to have this option for their youngest children. And now it's like we're getting more word of mouth and getting more families in because of the preschool program. So it's really making a difference in the school, getting them in early, and they're staying with us then. Before, when we had just the traditional program, it was people were coming just for, you know, that half a day and then they would be gone. They would not remain for kindergarten and beyond. So this is definitely something that has grown and we are very proud of.
That is great. And kudos to both of you for planting the seeds and watching it grow. I mean, that's so important, not just from the student's perspective, but I think from the parent's perspective too, that they're taking a vested interest in the school program, building relationships with their children and with other children and parents and families. And you set the course ahead. Well, we have lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moore Parish in the Hill District, and also the pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End of Pittsburgh. And this weekend, we are focusing Northside Catholic Assumption Academy in Brighton Heights. And my guests are Roseanne Kwiatkowski, who is the principal at Northside Catholic. We had Amanda Ziegler on for the first segment, who is the three-year-old preschool teacher. In this segment, we're focusing with school counselor Casey Ruffin. Now, Casey, who is, you're a new counselor at Northside Catholic Assumption Academy this year. What brought you in about the Extra Mile Foundation? Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with working with the students as a school counselor?
Yeah, of course. So my role as a school counselor is really to maximize student success. I'm here in a role to promote access and equity for each and every student, and overall just work to generate a school culture of success for everyone, including staff, families, community, and beyond. I work with the students in three main domains: academics, so their schoolwork, their achievement, their grades, career. Even in the earlier years, planting those seeds as to what is to be expected after eighth grade and moving on to high school. And the third domain, social emotional development. So really, I'm here to help set the foundation for developing knowledge, attitudes, and skills that are going to be really necessary for our students to become confident, competent, lifelong learners. My work is really made up of direct and indirect services. So some examples of direct work that I do with the kids are classroom lessons, individual student counseling sessions, and small group work. And then my role extends a little further to include some indirect work, which really stems from advocacy. I feel very passionate about being an advocate for the kids. And so this looks like collaborating with families, teachers, administrators, and the community, as well as advocating for students in any sort of student-focused meeting.
So your role is really, you're really an important part of the staff. You offer the academic and social emotional growth. What kind of advice would you give them to keep everything in perspective?
So one of my top goals as a school counselor is always, like I said, to advocate for social emotional learning. I think this is something that is very crucial to be in tandem with academics, and something that I've prioritized since I started my role as a school counselor is helping the school community make social emotional learning the fabric of the school. And having that social emotional learning be very intrinsic in the way that we as educators and advocates work with the students. I take a very holistic, solution-focused approach to working with young students. And I think in the same ways that a math teacher or a science teacher would scaffold skills with their material, I, as a school counselor, really aim to scaffold and model for social-emotional skills. So if I were meeting with a student who needed some support in balancing their academic and social-emotional lives, I might advise them to first start by setting goals. I think that goal setting is a very effective way to encourage students to achieve academically, but at the same time, you're also simultaneously increasing their self-esteem and their motivation and their overall social-emotional well-being as they achieve those goals. I also always try to do my best when I'm meeting with the kids to remind them it's okay to prioritize themselves. I like to use a lot of like positive affirmations when I'm talking to them and repeat to them things almost like mantras. You matter. You are resilient. You are capable. And these are just very simple statements, but they hold a lot of power for the kids because it reminds them that they may be facing challenges. They may be having obstacles in their way, but they within themselves already have that God-given potential and ability to overcome them with me as a very big support person in their journey to success.
Absolutely. Now, Casey, some adults might not realize that young people also have stress. It's real and it does affect them, and especially with the COVID-19, the pandemic, and they need coping skills. Would you agree?
Yes, 100%. And this is something that really was a catalyst for me as I finished up my graduate studies, is entering my first job amidst a pandemic. I think that there has been a need to increase awareness and minimize the stigma around mental health concerns in schools. I think it's been prevalent, but in my opinion, it's more so now than ever. The pandemic has sort of expanded the need and highlighted some major gaps in mental health, even in our young children. So we have topics like stress and anxiety and other mental health concerns that are certainly on the rise. And the ways in which we address them is really pivotal for our students' development and their future success. Teaching these students healthy coping skills is only one way to help combat some of the negative impacts of things like stress and anxiety and other pretty serious mental health challenges that we do indeed see in young kids. Having these skills help them with being able to better handle stressors and respond to adversity, which is a pretty unavoidable aspect of life. Conflict is going to come their way. And being able to equip our youngest students with coping skills is a really good first step. So some of the coping skills I might model, it really will depend on the student and their unique needs. We certainly do not all process emotions the same way. And so coping skills for young children really need to be individualized and specific to their age and stage of development. But everything from teaching them things like meditation, prayer, reframing, sort of working with them on restructuring their cognitive processes, promoting things as simple as exercise and journaling, drawing, teaching time management and conflict resolution. All of these are really good examples of coping skills that I as a school counselor can model and that I can then work to infuse into the school as a whole so that the overall school culture and school climate is helping them face some of these adversities and challenges that they might have as well.
Yeah, you're a pivotal part of the program there, and being a counselor, especially with a lot of the students coming from financially challenging areas, maybe a difficult home life, you bring that extra love and support and comfort as they get a good education. You're also nurturing and giving them the basic skills of that nurture. So kudos to you and to the staff there at Northside Catholic Assumption Academy. Now, Roseanne, we only have about a minute left. For those who are listening, might or interested in learning more about Northside Catholic Assumption Academy, what's the best way to reach you?
So the easiest way is on the web. Of course, we do have a website. It's at www.ncaacademynow.org. But you can always give the school a phone call, and we are here 7:30 to 3:30 daily, that you can leave a message as well. And our number is 412-761-5043, and we will get back to you. We are doing in-person tours, so we would love to hear from you. We're planning our Catholic Schools Week open house, so that'll be coming up in February. And just come out and see us. It would be great to see you.
In your location, too, you're not too far from the Route 65 corridor, 279, Brighton Heights, right in the middle of everything, and a great location there on the north side of Pittsburgh. So, Roseanne Kwiatkowski, Amanda Ziegler, and Casey Ruffin, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the second Sunday of Advent. We light the second candle in our Advent wreath this weekend, and we are focusing on Luke's Gospel. And today we read featuring John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus, and he's a key figure, especially in the Advent season, always preparing for the way of the Lord. And John's message includes the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins and prepares us for the Messiah. John the Baptist preached a message urging the people to be prepared, and he's grounding his proclamation to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And this Advent is a special time to prepare for the coming of Christmas. And all the readings this weekend leads us to examine our lives, relationships, the vocations, the gifts, the talents, as we prepare for the fullness promise of the coming of the Messiah in the next couple of weeks. So second Sunday of Advent, prepare the way of the Lord. We'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke. Thank you, and God bless you.